Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into another Dean Richards Sunday morning show. Back in the old days when I was just a little baby DJ. Shawnee, you remember that when I was just a little baby DJ?
Well, you're older than me, but I do remember.
Yeah, yes. You don't need to bring that up. I don't think that's necessary. But we used to...
Yes, I do remember.
We used to slam those Barry Manilow songs. And remember the...
One after another in the
70s. Phone lines would go crazy, and everybody wanting to hear all the Barry Manilow songs that were coming out. And, I said back then, I'll say it today, this man is an incredible, incredible musician, songwriter, performer, and we are lucky enough to have him here in Chicago for the next few days at the Chicago Theater. Very Barry Christmas. Barry Manilow joining us on the phone line right now. Hello there, my friend.
Hey, how many years have you and I been talking?
Barry, I was trying to think of it. I know I had a full head of hair back then. That's for sure.
Do you think I was at Mr. Kelly's when you and I started talking?
It might have been. You know, it was, I want to say it's like when Could It Be Magic first came out, Mandy.
Well, that was the first album, and that was even before Mr. Kelly's.
Yeah, it was the earliest of songs, and then to the Chicago Theater and the Poplar Creek. I mean, name the venue. Barry has sold it out through the years. And how great that you're still out there and doing shows tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday at the Chicago Theater. Let me just start off with, how are you? Are you doing okay?
Oh yeah, nothing seems to have changed. So I'm still at it, making records and doing concerts until they stop coming. And stop listening.
Yeah, that's just not going to happen. Everybody who goes to see a Barry Manilow show always says when they come out, that was a hell of a show. That man puts on a hell of a show, and he really.
You know, that's what's happening with this one too. This is a different one for me because I started doing these holiday shows a couple of years ago, and they are so beautiful. And the word I keep hearing from these people is joy when they leave. And these people that we're playing for, like the last couple of nights, these are jaded people. They don't use that word a lot, but they do at the end of our show. So I thought, well, I don't tour very much anymore, but I thought, I have to take this to some of my favorite cities. So that's why we're here.
Yeah, and you've always said that Chicago has been one of your favorite cities. What are some of your memories here, aside from watching the slow dissension of my hairline through the years?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's number one, of course. we played every place. You're right. We played. Wasn't there a place that we opened called Rosemont? Something or other. Rosemont.
Yeah, the Rosemont Horizon.
Horizon. Right. So we opened that place and. And then, like you said, Poplar Creek, we had, a Manilow convention, our very first one. I hope I'm right. And the very, very first one happened in Chicago, and it was wild. It was just wild. A fan club convention, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I do remember those moments.
I know from my days as a music DJ and talking to your fans on our hit lines every night, you have the most passionate, most enthusiastic fans of any performer that I've seen. I mean, that's just got to make you feel so good after all these years.
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect it to last. Gene, I didn't expect it to last this long. Honestly, I didn't expect it to after the first album. And anything after that was a surprise. The first album did have Could Have Been Magic on it and a couple of real nice songs on it, but, it didn't sell very well. I thought, well, I'm going to go back to conducting and writing commercials and doing it everything I was doing back then. That second album had Mandy on it, and everything exploded right after that.
Yeah. Do you have songs that you, most particularly enjoy doing of your greatest hits? There are so many of them. I wonder if you go on stage and each time you perform these songs, you find a new way to keep yourself, creatively charged, by performing these songs so they don't become routine to you.
No, they haven't. Isn't that amazing? Every night is like the first time. I swear, every night is like the first time. I'm very lucky when it comes to that. I don't get bored. But the one that is the biggest surprise for me, because I wasn't crazy about this song, Can't Smile Without You. I wasn't crazy about it. It was too simple. I did a really fine record of it, but I thought, it's not really the kind of thing that I like. I like better chord changes and better lyrics so I never really took it seriously, but it's probably my favorite one that I do because the audience loves it so much. I really, they just love this song, and therefore I loved this song these days more than all of them.
Yeah, in many ways it's become a kind of an anthem for you. Your fans saying to you, you saying to your fans, your love and appreciation for each other. Not to mention that it was featured on an episode of Family Guy, one of my favorite episodes of Family Guy as well.
Was it on Family Guy? Is that the one what's his funny name? What was his name?
Quagmire.
Quagmire. No, I haven't seen it. I sang
You haven't
Andy.
Seen it? You haven't seen it?
I did it. And I saw it once, but I sang Old Quagmire, Were You
right.
Saved? I sang Mandy to him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And it's become such a signature. Right. I need to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come right back. I want to talk about your Las Vegas residency. I'm hearing that the musical that you have been working on, Harmony, for years is coming. We've got so much more to talk about with Barry Manilow when we come right back. Not to sing along with this song. I dare you when you hear it. It's not possible. The great Barry Manilow, who we are lucky enough to have here in Chicago tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday at the beautiful historic Chicago Theater for his A Barry Christmas Show, A Very Barry Christmas Show. You do all the hits and holiday favorites in the show, right, Barry?
I do. Yes, I do.
You must have played the Chicago Theater before, I'm guessing, right?
It's beautiful, too. It's beautiful. I'm looking forward to it. It's really nice here. You ought to come down and check us out. I have an in. I can get you a couple of seats.
Wow. I didn't know that I had that kind of pull with somebody to get it. I always love seeing your shows. I would just love to come and say hello to you and, wish you happy holidays.
I think you'd love it. Everybody seems to love it. I do, too.
Yeah, we'll
the
make,
only reason I keep doing it is because I'm still loving it.
We'll make some calls after the show and see if we can make the connection there.
Good.
I was thinking about, during the break, I was thinking about one of the times that you visited with us here on the Sunday show. Our studios were still over in Tribune Tower. We were right on the Michigan Avenue, and it was torrentially pouring, raining outside, torrentially. And you were still nice enough to come in, even though there were thunderstorm warnings and lightning and everything, and you were still nice enough to come in. And your fans were outside in the rain, standing outside in the pouring rain to see you. You said, bring them inside. You said, let these people come inside. How nice.
Good
you
for me.
Yeah, no, you were super nice to your fans. But that brings me to another thing. I wonder, if thunderstorms follow you wherever you go, because, we watched this We Love New York concert that you did this past summer, in which they shut down the show during your song, during Can't Smile Without You, as a matter of fact.
I know. This guy came over and said, get off the stage. I said, am I that bad? I was right in the middle. I was right in the middle of my high note of Kiss falling out. And, yeah, the lightning started. And there was this gig announcement over these huge speakers that was even louder than what we were doing. And then suddenly my monitors in my ears just went dead. And I looked around, and this guy was waving at me to get me off the stage. And they kept saying we were going to come back, but that thunderstorm, holy moly, it never stopped. It never stopped all night long. Oh. So we weren't able to come back and finish it.
Yeah, well, it was part of the hurricane that was coming down the eastern seaboard at the time. So they unfortunately
they predicted that it wouldn't happen until the next day, but it happened that night.
Something to put in your memoirs, a day like that.
No, that was serious. Yeah. I've never seen rain like that.
You mentioned that you're not touring enough, just visiting select cities, but people can still see you in Las Vegas. I know you're going to be performing again in February. February, March, April. I mean, you're starting up your Las Vegas residency again in 2022, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to get off the road. That's a young person's thing, going from hotel to hotel and airport to airport. I've done it so many years. But I didn't want to stop. I love being with the band. I love doing this kind of performing, and I sure did miss the audiences. So it just happened that we were offered this residency, and that was the perfect answer. That we could still be together. I could still do what I like doing and get off the road. That's a big job these days. Airports are crazier and crazier and crazier. So, but I was done.
Yeah. Precautions that need to be taken now in airports and hotels and all that. How did you fare during the worst of the pandemic, although we seem to be having a little bump in some cities right now? Did you just sit it out and relax at home a little bit? Were you keeping busy working on other projects? What were you doing during all that?
That's exactly my answer. That's exactly what happened. We all did. We just stayed home for all those months. I'm a creator, so I came up with all sorts of things that I wanted to do, and it was great being home, but not for that reason. But it was scary, and we all just stayed home and did what we could do at home, and it feels like it's starting up again, although it's kind of confusing. Now they say that it might ease up in a couple of months, and that would be good.
Yeah, let's hope. We've gone through this before, mm-hmm. where we kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Seems like mm-hmm. everything's going okay, and then suddenly there's another outbreak because people get careless. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that. What is the latest, Barry, with your musical Harmony? I'm hearing that it's headed to Broadway. Is that the case?
Yeah. This time we are heading it. Well, we've been trying to get this beautiful, beautiful piece of work up for years now. And so now we head towards New York in April, May. April is previews. May is, or maybe it's March and April. Maybe it's March and April. You got to check it out. It's really a beautiful show. It will be in New York during, I guess it's March and April. And we'll see what happens if we can get it to uptown to the big theaters. We started in a smaller house, which mm-hmm. is a very respectable small house. And here we go again with Harmony. It's just a beautiful, beautiful piece.
Yeah. Well, there's something to look forward to. A couple of great things to look forward to with your residency in Vegas and this musical.
And then of course there's a new album. I've always got a new album. There's always. Bill Zamy, the wonderful writer that bases out of Chicago, once said in an article, he wrote, there's always the next one with him. And it's true. There's always the next one with me. I've always got a million ideas. There's always something coming out, an album, a tour, or a Broadway musical.
I've said this during the pandemic when actors, singers, musicians, performers of any kind, the pandemic could not keep them down. They got online. They got on Zooms. It's what I've been saying. Creative people must create. They cannot stop creating, and that's the case with you.
God, you should have all had stock in Zoom, don't you think?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Zoom world now.
Crazy. It's crazy. Are you aware that Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, both with Nirvana and his own band, the Foo Fighters, now, that he's done a version of Copacabana? Did you know that?
Somebody showed it to me. Yes. Yes. He, you know, I kind of know him, and I'm crazy about him. I'm just crazy about him. Every time I talk to him, it's like talking to a professor. He's so smart.
Yeah.
You know, he's so different than what he's made a career out of, which is so great when he does that. But he's so, he's just a great human being. I'm crazy about him. I'm reading his book. He's got an autobiography out.
Right.
And he said, hey, would you know it? He's a terrific writer, too.
Yeah.
Just wonderful.
I would pay anything to be a fly on the wall while Barry Manilow and Dave Grohl are just sitting around having a chat.
Yeah. You would be surprised. Or maybe you would with just two guys. And he's just a great guy.
Of course that makes perfect sense, but you know, I'm imagining him asking you, so how did you make Weekend in New England? What was your secret? And you asking him, and then suddenly Barry has a Foo Fighters tribute album coming.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, he's great at what he does.
Yeah.
He's just great at
he really is.
He
really is.
Yeah.
He really is. Barry, thank you so much for taking a little time to say hello to us. It's a pleasure. Barry's Barry Christmas shows are at the Chicago Theater tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday. If you want to just be entertained to the max, check out Barry's shows. They are going on right now. Barry, I'm going to do my best to get over there because I just want to say hello to my old friend and see your show, and wish you a happy holiday and all the best for 2022. It's a real pleasure to talk to you always.
Back at you. Thanks for this.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, joining us. And Kevin, first of all, Dr. Most, welcome. Happy holidays to you there, my friend. But not a happy holiday for a lot of people. We are looking at one of the worst surges during this entire pandemic period right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, Dean. And, you know, it's funny that you were just talking about Bozo, because we definitely have a bunch of Bozos who have not done everything they can to help stop this spread. But we are looking at, you know, the next couple of weeks are going to be what I'm calling the potential perfect storm. You know, we still have Delta cases that are rising. We still have hospitalizations that are rising, which is very unfortunate. And now we're looking at Omicron, which could be devastating to the workforce. So, yeah, we are in a really tough position right now.
Explain what you think is happening right now.
Well, if you look at the hospitalizations, they're about 97% unvaccinated people. So individuals who are getting to the point of being hospitalized are certainly unvaccinated. We're starting to see more social things, right? So we're seeing concerts, we're seeing basketball games and hockey games, and people are going to restaurants. So, you know, we're starting to see that spread. And then right on top of this will be Omicron here. You know, it's here already. It's just a matter of how fast it's going to spread in Chicago. So the problem there is it's going to knock out workforces. You know, where we will have, you know, nurses with essentially a bad flu with Omicron, but they won't be able to come to work. And yet we have the hospitals filled, overfilled in many cases across Chicago.
Right. With Omicron, more contagious than Delta and the original variant or less? And
oh, no, no.
Go ahead.
No. Much, much, much more contagious. You know, when we looked at the original variant, you know, and then we saw Delta, which is more contagious and more virulent. But now Omicron is like 70 times more contagious.
70 times.
70. Wow. Yes. Yep.
With less severe consequences?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking about this being an illness now with Omicron, that runny nose, headache, fatigue, sore throat, you know, not bad at all. If you look at what's happened in South Africa, you know, the cases just totally spiked, but hospitalization stayed fairly flat, which was great in South Africa because they had low hospitalizations to begin with. So they were actually in a great position. In the UK and what's happening here, we're not so much. We still have a lot of Delta around, and the Delta lag of a couple of weeks pushes those individuals into the hospital right when Omicron is going to hit.
Texter from 847 says, I was at a Christmas party last week and recently discovered that people at the Christmas party were not vaccinated. One of them had tested positive for COVID. What should I do?
Boy, you know,
there's a
Christmas.
Lot of Christmas now, that, parties going on right now.
Yep.
Where I'm sure things like that are happening everywhere right now.
Yep. So what that individual can do, and, you know, and I would normally say, hey, go out and get a test, you know, but I would say right now, watch for symptoms, isolate yourself, go into quarantine. I'm not going to push people going to get tests because we are running out of tests because there is so much demand right now, mainly on the East Coast because of Omicron, and you're going to see that here. They will not be able to make tests fast enough for us to be able to test everybody who wants to be tested. But for that individual, what I would say, you know, to every individual, if you're going to be at a Christmas party, I would say, tell me everybody is vaccinated and boosted. And if not, you know what, I'll see you next year at Christmas. I would not be going to any events where you have the potential for unvaccinated. They are the vector right now to spread the illness.
And definitely don't be shy about asking this. Don't be, you know, don't feel like you're going to be rude to your host. Don't feel anything. You're protecting your own health, your loved one's health. It's the sensible thing to do, to go, I'd love to come to your party. Who's going to be there? You know, is everybody vaccinated? I got a wedding invitation for a wedding that is going to be taking place in the spring. And in the invitation, it said, in order to RSVP, you have to send a copy of your vaccination card to the bride and groom to let them know that you're safe to come to the wedding.
Yeah, you know, we have to remember, and everybody who's listening, you know, those of you who are fully vaccinated, even with boosters, you can still get this illness. So we need to do what we can to stop the spread. Well, the unvaccinated are definitely the ones that are going to take the brunt of it. But we know that we can still spread this to even after being fully vaccinated. Being fully vaccinated will keep you out of the hospital, really decreases your chance for severe harm or death. But you can still have breakthrough cases, as we've seen. So we should be doing everything we possibly can to slow this and stop this, because the healthcare system is really, really, really stressed right now.
So, you know, let's hope that we don't see something here like we're seeing in New York right now. I mean, shows are shutting down. Broadway shows are shutting down. Saturday Night Live canceled their audience last night. They canceled their musical guest. They, you know, because people are testing positive in casts and crews, and it's rampant on the East Coast right now. Hopefully we don't get to that point. But if we do, if people do begin to exhibit symptoms and the healthcare system is maxed out, what do you do? Do you simply just isolate yourself and wait it out? When should you be more concerned and, you know, really seek medical care that is already being stressed?
Yeah, certainly those that are unvaccinated that start to get symptoms, those individuals certainly should talk to their doctor about the opportunity for monoclonal antibody treatment, something that could potentially keep them out of the hospital. Those individuals who have been fully vaccinated, your symptoms are probably going to be mild to moderate, and you can just isolate yourself at home and do all the things that you normally would. Monoclonal antibodies, we don't have enough of them. So we're certainly looking to make sure that we're giving them to the appropriate people that we know could potentially end up in the hospital, the unvaccinated, versus the vaccinated saying, hey, you know what, you guys, you're going to be really well protected about going into the hospital. Please do all the supportive measures and isolate yourself so you don't spread it any further.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll get to your questions for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200 next.
Happy holidays from all of us at WGN to all of you.
Merry Christmas, Chicago, from WGN.
Jim, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. So both my wife and I had been vaccinated last winter, spring, and had actually scheduled our booster shot, but before we were able to get the shot, both of us became infected with mild cases of COVID in mid-November. We were fortunate enough to get the antibody treatment, which I think really reduced any kind of symptoms. My question is, at this point, we still have to wait 90 days, excuse me, for a booster. How safe are we to go about normal activities? Could there be minor travel, that kind of thing, being around loved ones, obviously still masking, all those kinds of things. Just wanted to kind of get the doctor's ideas to how safe the two of us would be now before getting that next booster, which we got to wait 90 days for.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Jim, glad that you got through it okay. And again, it shows the importance of being vaccinated. Here you are, you were vaccinated, but still got the infection, so still got a breakthrough case, but sounds like it was mild to moderate. And great that you got the monoclonal antibodies, which really probably helped you quite a bit here. The beauty of this is now your body has already been exposed now to the COVID, the Delta virus, so it is making antibodies as well. So you're in a very good position right now because not only do you have the vaccine immunity, but you have the natural immunity from the illness. So as far as travel and doing things, you are as good as someone that has been fully boosted. As a matter of fact, you may even be in a better position. So certainly I would not be concerned for someone who has had two shots and infection, survived and did well. You're in a very good position.
Appreciate the time, doctor. Thanks. Have a good holiday.
Thank you for the call,
Thank you, Jim.
Happy holidays to you. Cynthia, you're on WGN.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for continuing to do this for all this time. I'm sure it's been challenging for all of us. My question has to do with those of us who have had vaccinations and been boosted, but might be susceptible to a breakthrough. And I'm wondering if you've got enough data yet to see any consistent pattern in the types of people that are experiencing breakthroughs. Is there a pre-existing condition or some other type of consistency in their profiles that suggests that there are some of us that are more susceptible to the breakthroughs than others?
Absolutely, Cynthia. So you asked a question that I think I really need to answer in a kind of a broad way, because I'm not sure exactly the question, but let me answer it exactly as I think what you're asking. So you were vaccinated and boosted, but may have been in an immunocompromised state. In other words, a cancer treatment or some other illness that really knocks down your immune system. Those individuals, after the booster, are getting back to what I would call the norm for many people who just got two. As far as the breakthrough cases, many people are getting breakthrough cases today that are mild or moderate. The ones that are getting breakthrough cases and ending up in the hospital, we're finding two common denominators, obesity and diabetes. And we know that many people with obesity have undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. So diabetes appears to be the one where someone is fully vaccinated and is ending up with a breakthrough case that ends up in the hospital. So I hope I answered your question, because I think I did.
Yes, you did. Exactly. You understood me. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Cynthia, thank you for the call. Somebody, 847, texting, what is the incubation period for the if exposed to Omicron?
Yeah, here's the beauty. With Omicron, the symptoms can be somewhat mild to begin with, right? We're talking about runny nose, headache, fatigue, and sore throat. But we are talking a very short incubation period, a day, 2 days before you start to get it. The beauty of Omicron is it loves the upper respiratory tract. So it loves the nose, the back of the throat. It doesn't do well in the lungs, which is great. So we're not seeing people with heavy coughing and pneumonia. It's just this irritating upper respiratory infection. But it really is just a couple of days. You start getting the sniffles, you start getting a sore throat, a little bit of a headache and fatigue. Boy, I'll tell you, in the next couple of weeks, people are going to say that may not be the common cold, but we have to remember, coronavirus is a common cold. This variant, the Omicron, is dragging us back closer to what that common cold is like.
Yeah, just, we're out of time, but everybody, please be careful. Take all the precautions. I read one article this morning that said that we're coming into a tsunami of infection, a period, yep. As you said, Kevin, right now. And if ever you're going to be careful, now is the time to do it.
And Dean, I would say one final thing, and I know you're running late, but anybody who has not been vaccinated, I can tell you the number one thing that we are hearing from individuals in the hospital who have not been vaccinated, they're saying, boy, I was stupid. I wish I would have got vaccinated. Even people who are staunch, I wasn't going to get vaccinated. They're now looking at this going, the vaccine, which we've proven over a year is safe, boy, is much better than ending up in the intensive care unit.
Yeah. Kevin, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you again for your time every Sunday. Wish you all the best for 2022.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon.
Bozo Circus is on the air.
Are you ready for it? Tonight, a brand new Bozo special hits the airwaves tonight.
Our cookie cookie.
Hey, hi, Cookie.
Hey.
Hi, Swatty.
Hey, Boz.
We could do that during our Barry Manilow opening act. We could do our little tribute to Bozo.
Yes, and we'd be escorted off the stage in 30 seconds.
Barry does not know what he's missing by not having the comedy stylings of Andy,
he may be listening.
Andy Schwani and Dino. We're the new Rat Pack for Chicago. Our big Bozo special is on, our brand new Bozo special is on tonight. 7 to 9 p.m. This is recently found footage from 1974. Hasn't been on the air since 1974. And we're incorporating it as part of a new two-hour special, Bozo Circus, the 1970s. It will not only be on WGN television tonight, but if you've got family and friends around the country that grew up watching the Bozo show as well, they might enjoy it. It will be streamed live on WGNTV.com/live, on our WGNTV news app, and also our new WGN 9 Plus streaming app. It's on Roku, it's on Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV.
It is everywhere.
So it's all over the place to be able to. A lot of people say, "Oh, I can't get it," and blah 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 blah. There's no. I'm tired of your excuses. I'm sick and tired of your excuses.
Now, where's your Christmas spirit here? Let's be nice.
Tune into our special. I'm tired of your excuses. A lot of people
just watch it. Okay.
A lot of people would be more holly jolly this time of year.
Not
I'm
you.
Just telling you. Shut up and watch our show. It's really cool to see this footage from the 1970s. That just the fact that it hasn't been on the air in practically 50 years is amazing to me. But people are always asking, yeah, I was on the show in the 1970s. Do you have footage and this and that? There is virtually no footage. So if you are on the show around that time, maybe you're on this hour that was discovered. So tune in tonight, 7 to 9 at all those places. Where you can watch it, and we hope you enjoy it. And of course, we've got Bozo Gar and Ray and all the other specials coming up around Christmas Eve, like around there as well. So that should be fun.
I will never forget watching Bozo and eating lunch, and how they would show a quick cartoon toward the beginning of the show,
sure.
And then come back and do a live pan of the audience. I will never forget sitting at home watching. They come back from the cartoon. The camera pans the audience. In the front row is my buddy who lived next door and his brothers and sisters.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. And he actually got to play a game, the game they had toward the end of the show, not the grand prize game.
Right.
I don't know how they kept that a secret in the neighborhood, because you had to wait 5-7 years or more for tickets.
That's why they didn't say anything.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, there they were, and in the front row.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Did you ever go?
No, never did. Sent in the sent in the card, but no, never went. Andy? Sent in a card for the grand prize game too.
Yes, I did.
You did.
Andy,
I did
there.
Go. Yes, yeah. And because I was so tall, the stinking arrow was just above my head in the grand prize game.
You told us that. Yeah. Yeah, that's not right.
Not that I'm still bitter about it.
Some snotty kid.
He complains about it every morning when he comes in.
I just wanted to go to the Bozo Drum to pick out a name for the, you know,
for the at-home player.
At-home player,
the
right?
At-home player, yes.
Those are good memories. When I was 10 years old, we went on a field
you
trip.
You were there.
My fourth grade field trip. I'll never forget it. It was super cool. And the first day that I started working there, this is now over 30 years ago, the first day that I worked there, I'm walking down that hall. And I could just picture little Dean standing there,
waiting
in line. Yeah. Like, so excited when I saw Bob Bell, you know, come out as Bozo, so, you know, to see him in person. And in those days, Oliver O'Oliver and Sandy and Mr. Ned and, you know, all that. These are just unprecedented memories. I don't think other cities have these kind of special television memories. These were like our friends. These were, you know, watching these guys was just like, you know, some of our best friends, because we had lunch with them every day.
Yeah, we did.
Or woke up with them in the morning.
How many people were let in for the studio audience?
I'm not 100% sure. I would guess might have been 100.
I was going to say 100 or so.
150 maybe.
Right,
in
tops.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't know the accurate, but I've seen the bleachers that they used to have there for the so-called cast of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was about 100, 100 and a half.
It just seemed so large because you had the cast of thousands, the audience, and then over to their, you know, next to them, Bob Trendler and the Big Top Band.
Right.
So,
yeah.
They
had it all. They had it all right there. But it'll be on live on WGN TV for those of you that like to watch television the old fashioned way, like me. I like to watch. I like my TV the old fashioned way. But also
black and white too, right?
I do turn the color off. I turn the color off my set, right?
Put up the rabbit ears and make sure the picture swims around.
I put a hanger where the antenna is supposed to be.
You gotta stand in one spot,
right? Or
1 foot off the floor.
Streaming. Step and take another step to the left. Streaming on WGNTV.com/live on our WGNTV news app. And we've got this new thing now called WGN 9 Plus streaming app that you can get on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV. So there are plenty of ways to watch the special again. I don't know if I've mentioned that it's on tonight from 7 to 9 p.m.
So that's tonight, right?
That would be, this evening. Okay. That would be just several hours.
WGN television?
Yeah, several hours.
Just didn't want to drop any names there.
Yeah, I'll look a lot better than I do right now. I think I clean up fairly well.
Don't forget to shave.
Anywho, let me see here. So we had Barry Manilow on live to start the show today at 9 o'clock. Therefore, our far-flung forecast was preempted today. You get preempted, Shawnee, whenever we have multi-award-winning musical performers.
I understand.
On the show, but just as important is our weekly far-flung forecast. It's our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures presented to us normally every Sunday morning right around 9:20 or so, this week a little later. But here to present it to you, music and fashion was always in fashion with the far-flung forecast and Dave Rico Schwab.
I was going to say Rico was coming.
Yeah.
I'm not Rico. My name is Dave, and I do not wear a diamond. But today, this being the Sunday before Christmas, where do you think we're going to be headed, Dean and Andy? Where do you think we're going to go?
I have a thought.
Would that be, let's see,
it's not Santa Claus, Indiana.
No, although that would be a destination. We have gone there before.
Christmas, Michigan.
No, you're thinking of Frankenmuth, Michigan. But I believe there is a Christmas somewhere up there. No. Today we do go to the North Pole, but it is North Pole, Alaska. outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. The population is 2,243. It was named the North Pole, Alaska, due to with some property developers that named it and incorporated it in the 1950s as the North Pole, although it is 1,700 miles south of the real North Pole, and also is south of the Arctic Circle. So it's not quite in that area there where the real North Pole is. But
you are really Rand McNally here today.
Each year, you want latitude and longitude.
you know me. I love my latitude and longitudes.
64
I love all
degrees.
My tudes. I love all my tudes.
64 degrees, 45 feet, 4 inches north.
Jeez.
Long and 447 degrees.
It shows 21. Over at 11:30 today, Schwann.
But as you might think, North Pole, Alaska gets hundreds of thousands of letters to Santa at this time of year.
Including mine.
Including yours.
Yep.
There is a Santa Claus Lane, a St. Nicholas Drive, a Snowman Lane, and a Kris Kringle Drive.
Sound effects on the
street lights in the city decorated with a candy cane motif. And many other local businesses have similar decorations.
It's not annoying at all.
Now,
Uncle Dean's got a headache. Uncle Dean may have had a little too much eggnog last night.
Now, you might think it would be utterly freezing in North Pole, Alaska. It's cold, not totally frigid, though, 14 degrees. However, there is a winter storm warning in effect for North Pole, Alaska.
Ooh,
Merry
cold.
Christmas, everybody.
Ooh, there it is again.
You like the sound effects, Andy?
Someone answer the door.
Isn't that festive? It's seasonal.
Hang on a second. There we go.
Oh, man.
Oh,
sounds like the Psycho music now.
Right?
Are you giving me some ideas?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Are you done?
I am done.
Oh, you are really done now, isn't it? You've got a foodie on your list. Who doesn't like food? Who doesn't like, enjoying grilling? That's why we have Chef Klaus Lauder, the Grill Academy chef for Weber Grill Restaurants with us, and Lauren Rulo, who's the Senior Sales and Marketing Manager for the Grill Academy, catering and on-site grilling events. Lauren also has the longest business card in the world with a title like that.
It's actually, it doesn't all fit on one line, I promise. You had to go for three.
You ask for a business card. It's like a yardstick. It's three,
right, or a resume, right?
Yeah, 3 feet long. Exactly.
Well, that's what happens when you've been here for quite a few years. They start to give you more responsibility.
Right, exactly. Exactly right. But, Chef, you were telling me about some great ideas. And the thing that really stuck out in my mind were these cooking classes that you offer at Weber Grill Restaurants. These are fantastic ideas to, we all want to learn how to be a little better on the grill, get some new ideas. Tell us about this and, how people can avail themselves and give a cooking class to somebody as a gift for the holidays.
Absolutely, Dean. So you can look at all the information on www.webergrillrestaurants.com. And just click on the Grill Academy. You can find two locations on there between Schaumburg and Lombard. And just take a look at it. We've got a great variety for every enthusiast that's out there, whether it's going to be a smoking class, Basics 101. We do surf and turf classes, date nights, and really fun for the adults, too. We do a lot of these booze, it's like infused type of classes where we're going to be doing like American bourbon and grilling. For Cinco de Mayo, we're going to be doing tacos and margaritas. And it's really it touches everybody's likes and dislikes. So that way you're able to satisfy a wide range of different flavors and tastes that are out there.
Yeah, I think.
As well as.
Go ahead.
I would say skill level, too. That's the nice thing about our classes. You don't have to be a grilling expert to take them. Chef Klaus is awesome at working with those beginner grillers and those grillers who have been doing it for quite a few years and want to learn a couple more skills.
So, Lauren, what are some other ideas that would be great gift ideas for the foodie in your life?
So we actually, to kind of even still stay on the class theme, we actually have a special going on right now where you can actually buy four classes for the price of three. So that's a great way to, if you know you've got a couple people that you want to gift and you want to get a great deal on that, or if you want to take a bunch of different classes, it gives you kind of a bonus class, which is really nice. In addition to that, you know, you can always just buy a gift card and come into the restaurant. We also have gift cards for the Grill Academy classes. And then to even make it even more fun, we actually do the same quality meats that we have in the restaurant. You can actually purchase those to be shipped anywhere in the United States. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so we've got some wonderful options with our steaks and you know, some other, like our ribs and things like that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. And also, Weber has such a great line of, you know, accessories for the grill. I don't know the exact name of it. You guys probably do. But it's the probe that you put in the meat that you Bluetooth with your smartphone. So you can keep an eye on the internal temperature of whatever it is that you're grilling or smoking on the grill. That was life-changing for me this past summer.
Yeah, the newest one on the market for that is the Weber Connect Hub. You can use that for any grill. It doesn't have to be a Weber grill itself. And you have possible having four different probes, either ambient or for your meat probe as well. Exactly. You can sit on your couch while you're watching the game, while you're a prime rib or your ribs are smoking up on the grill. And some great recipes will go along with that as well to come with it. And it's really really come a long way since back in the day with the old dial thermometers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just completely life-changing. I haven't overcooked anything at all. This year as a result of that. I haven't undercooked anything because it tells you exactly, you know, you said it, I want to take this steak off or salmon or whatever it is that you're cooking. I want to take it off when it reaches X number of degrees. And then you set it with the probes in the meat. You go back inside. You don't have to stand outside. It tells you exactly when to go outside. And mm-hmm. with the smoke pellet grill, it tells you when you need to turn something, when you need to, it's foolproof, really.
Yeah, it's definitely come a long way, and it's some great options that are out there. Again, when you come into the restaurants, both of them have a smaller, limited retail section there for it, but you could also kind of pair it up as a great Christmas gift as well too. Get one of these gadgets to go with their grill classes. And they'll get you all set up again for the holidays.
Yeah, and
I would always like to throw in there too that I actually carry our instant read thermometer around in my purse for anybody who ever is like, oh, you work at Weber Grill? Oh, you're at this cookout? Like, how do you cook this burger? So I'm like, hold on, let me pull out this thermometer and show you the right way to do it.
All right, Lauren.
It's always a good gadget.
Lauren, I already liked you, but now I think I love you. Now that I know you walk around with an instant read thermometer in your purse.
Yes, I do. Yep. My guy friends really love it when I try to show them up on the grill.
Wow. Wow, you know how to reel in a man.
Right. Yeah. It's a wonder I'm still kind of single.
You know what? That instant read thermometer, I mean, this hub thing is life-changing, really, because it connects to your phone, it Bluetooths to your phone, and as I say, it's just amazing. But if you're on the grill, if you spend any time on the grill at all, and you don't have one of these instant read thermometers, it's night and day difference, isn't it, Chef, of what keeping control of everything that you may have on there.
Right, right. And for those with least experience, we always say follow the instructions down to a T on those recipes you're reading. But as far as the more experience you get, the more time up on the grill, then you can start pretty much using the pressure test as well. And you know, we have that as well. With as much grilling as we've done now, you can pretty much get it down with knowing your temperature, knowing your recipe, knowing the product you're putting on the grill, your hot spots, your direct grilling spots, which is your main hot zone, your indirect zone, which is your cool zone. Folks, you do not need to have an 800-degree oven or 800-degree grill working the entire time. So definitely know your zones and where to put it.
Yeah, and, you know, if you know what I do when I'm on the grill, I might have my protein going on, you know, a piece of fish or a steak or chops or lamb. You know, I've been doing a lot of lamb chops this year for some reason. I've got that going on with, you know, maybe some corn on the cob going on and doing some vegetables. So, you know, you need different temperatures for all of those things. So to be able to monitor it is pretty important. I also wanted to talk about these special Christmas Eve catering platters that you've got available for people getting ready to celebrate this coming week. Lauren, tell us about those.
Yep. So you can leave all of the cooking to us, which is always helpful, especially when you're like trying to save some room in the oven and in the house. And with all of our busy schedules, it's also really nice to not have to worry about it. But we've got a wonderful hickory smoked prime rib, half orders and full orders. So you can feed a smaller group of like maybe 4 to 5 or, 8 to 10. We also have a Carolina pork roast and, some of our wonderful favorites, like our green beans that we actually make with our signature Chicago steak seasoning. We have our white cheddar mac and cheese, some grilled asparagus, our famous garlic mashed potatoes. So even if you're just looking for some of the sides that you want to fill in with your meal and you want to make the main thing at home, we've got you covered. And we have pickup available between 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock at all of our locations. We got one downtown Chicago on State Street. We've got one in Schaumburg just near the Woodfield Mall. And then we've got one in Lombard just between the the Yorktown and the Oak Brook Mall there that you can pick those up.
Right. And talking about great gift ideas for somebody who is a foodie, somebody loves to grill. Weber's got a whole line of fantastic cookbooks that will, just give you the basics on everything, but also give you some great new ideas about, what to do on the grill as well. I wanted to talk about some of those things when we come back from the break. Can we get some ideas from you, Chef, about things to do on the grill? I mean, a lot of us, we don't shut it down when the weather gets chilly or it starts to snow. I want to talk about winter grilling, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Let me take a break. We'll be right back with Klaus Lauter, Chef Klaus Lauter, and Lauren Rullo from Weber Grill Restaurants right after this.
Merry Christmas, Chicago.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from all of us to all of you.
From WGN.
I don't know.
Jolly old Dean Richards, Sunday morning.
But have a cup of cheer.
Final show before Christmas time. That's why we wanted to get a few holiday gift giving ideas of the food variety, of the culinary variety out there for you today. It's a fantastic gift giving idea. But while we've got our friends from the Weber Grill Restaurants here with us, I thought we'd also, just talk about a little winter grilling. A lot of people do it. Lauren Rullo and Chef Klaus Lauter on the line with us today. And, Chef, is there something we need to do, even just before we walk outside, is there, anything different in just the setup of the grill, the preparation of the grill when temperatures are the way they are today?
Well, we can say right now that we don't have to worry about shoveling a path right now to our grills because it's been pretty meager as far as the snowfall this year. So that part's already done. as far as your grills themselves, just note that the environment, the climate outside is definitely going to have some effect as well as your temperatures on your grill. You might have to maneuver it around depending on where the winds are. Your charcoal grill is going to get a lot more gust of air coming in there as the winds are picking up, so you have to definitely watch that. Not to mention that propane does not like to have be out in the cold as well. So that takes a while for that to really heat up. Biggest tip on propane and natural gas, folks, is just to make sure that you have those gas valves completely wide open. Don't think you're saving yourself any money here by having it only halfway open, because there's a ball valve in there that restricts the gas flow. You want to make sure that your high heat is high heat.
So
definitely make sure you preheat everything.
So do you need to protect it from the wind or keep it from the wind? I mean, do you need to, put up some sort of barrier, particularly for, charcoal kettles?
Yeah, if you have that option, it's definitely going to be helpful for sure. Otherwise, you just might have to maneuver it around to a different part of the house or off on the side. I mean, I know some of us, we have the patios rigged so we can actually get to nice and easy. A lot of other people and clients that I have had, we always have a grill just inside the garage door, so that when you pop the garage door, you got a little protective cover, and that you're still, you make sure you have that door open for sure, folks. Right? Don't want to have that the garage fill up with any smoke as well.
Any of the fumes or smokes. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say that when you're moving it around, it still needs to be in a ventilated outdoor environment, not in a closed garage, not inside your house. In any way, I mean, if you move it, you know, slightly inside your garage, but with the garage door open, that's okay, right?
For the most part of it, yes. You just have to definitely be careful with that. But that's how I do for my protection as far as during the winter time for grilling.
Yeah, well, mine's just sitting out on the deck. I mean, I've done it, and it, you know, it's on the deck. It seems like it takes longer to warm up, you know, to get it up to temperature. Things like that. Why wouldn't it be if it's 20 degrees outside or 30 degrees outside? Of course, it's going to take a little bit longer, and cooking times might be a little bit longer depending on how many times you open and shut the grill, right?
Well, you know, Dean, we do have that one saying, right? That if you're looking,
you ain't cooking.
Wow, look at that.
It's a little cheesy, but you're not going to forget it.
Good advice. Good advice. All right. So what are there certain things that adapt themselves well, chef, to winter cooking, winter grilling?
Well, I think all of us really love our comfort food here in the wintertime, right? We're all very heavily into the longer roast, slow and low cooking. So I think some of the favorites that I have out there is definitely along those heavier items. We could do some nice smoked and braised meats up on the grills. You can do a lot more on the grills than you would think about. It's more than just on the open flames. Remember, you can always adjust those temperatures coming down low. So let's say you want to start off with doing some short ribs up on the grill. Something we do here great as well is that after a good seasoning of it, we do a slow smoke up on the grill. You can do this great on the smoke fire, for example. Let that get to up to about 160 degrees, pull it off, and you can also start a braising liquid as well, too. Put it in an oven-safe pan, grill-safe pan, and put it back on the grill as well, too, low temperatures, slightly covered, and just let it braise off until it's nice and tender. Another big fan favorite out there, obviously, is prime rib this season, just like we're doing here and at the restaurants for the catering, is grab yourself a good, let's say, 4-pounder. Not everybody's going to go for a big 15-pound prime rib, and we like to give it a nice, nice, good salt and pepper rub on the outside of it. If you can also take more into the Italian side of the flavors of it, you can go for a nice basil, oregano, parsley, garlic, and olive oil mixture, almost making it like in a paste inside of a Robocoup or a food processor or a blender. And just get that good rub on the outside of that the prime rib itself, and put that somewhere indirect on your grill. Indirect, folks, if in case you haven't caught that, it's going to be not over the main flames, more the in-between side of it. So maybe have your burners on your left and right-hand side on sort of medium, and you put your roast right there in the center of it. Go about 250 to 300 degrees. Lid close and just let that slowly get up to a temperature roughly about, I like to bring it up to about 110 degrees or so, and then I will actually turn up the grill to a temperature about 350 to 375. If you have a broiler option, be able to get the nice crust on the outside of that roast.
Yeah,
now, for prime rib, you know, the best way to have it, in my opinion, is always going to be on the more rare to medium rare side of it. So I'm looking for that internal temperature. And, Dean, this is perfect what you were talking about with the Weber Connect and the different temperature probes. You just keep that right there in the center. Then when you hit that about 130-degree mark inside of it, man, it's going to be ready to go. You want to pull that puppy off. You want to let it rest, put it into a low temperature oven for at least an hour or so, and then from that point, it'll be like butter.
Yeah, because even if you don't put it in a low degree oven, it's going to continue to cook for a little while once you take it out. So if it comes up to 140, 150, it's still medium rareish to medium. So that's a good place to be, and that's why those instant read thermometers and the probes are such a good idea. If people want to get more information, Lauren, what is the best way to do this? To follow up on some of the gifts, to follow up on some of the recipes, what's the best way to go?
So you can visit our website, like we mentioned before, WeberGrillRestaurant.com. Weber.com also has all those gadgets. But if you want cooking classes, if you're looking for catering, if you're looking for gift cards for the restaurants, it's WeberGrillRestaurant.com. You can stop into any of our locations, or you can give us a call. We're happy to help you on the phone as well.
Happy holidays to both of you, Lauren Rulo, Chef Klaus Lauder, Weber Grill Restaurants. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
This song was the number one song in America the year that our recently found footage on our new Bozo special that will be on tonight on WGN-TV was last on the air. Some recently found footage from 1974 was discovered. We will incorporate it into a brand new special that'll be on tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. on WGN-TV. It will also be available for you to watch live streaming, WGNTV.com/live, WGN-TV news app. We also have our new WGN9 Plus streaming app. Somebody texted me this morning and said they just signed up for it. You got to put in WGN Plus. Make sure you put the plus, WGN 9 Plus, and you can find it on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and Apple TV, and you'll be able to stream it there as well. But it will be on tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on WGN TV and all of those streaming places. We hope you enjoy that. We hope you're also enjoying some of the new movies that are out there right now. The new Spider-Man movie, they just released some early box office numbers. It is breaking records like crazy. They expected to take in just this weekend, opening weekend, $253 million. Prior to this weekend, no other COVID-era film has even been able to cross the $100 million mark in a single weekend. Spider-Man goes 253. I gave it a Dean's List A. I loved it. And from what I'm hearing from a lot of people on social media, they also loved it. In a minute, I'm going to talk with Spider-Man, Tom Holland himself. Ellen, you went to the movies and you saw West Side Story?
Yes, I was shocked how much I loved that movie.
I gave that one a Dean's List. I gave that a Dean's List A+. Yes. I liked it so much.
Oh, Rita Moreno sings her song so beautifully. It was just... I just loved it. I loved it better than the original.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. They took this original, which is pretty hard to top. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, in my opinion.
Right, me too. I just loved it. I'll see it again.
Yeah, they took it. They were respectful to the original Broadway stage production. And Steven Spielberg and this talented cast just embellished it like crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody had texted me a few minutes ago saying, is it being pulled from the theaters? No, it's absolutely not being pulled.
Oh, no.
No, it's available everywhere. I mean, if you go online and look at Fandango or some of the places where you can buy movie tickets, it's everywhere. It's going to stay everywhere. It didn't do great in the box office last weekend, but that's a movie that over the holiday period, people are definitely going to go to see.
It was funny because the theater was not packed at all last night. It was hardly anyone in there.
Well, you know, they're saying that adults are not going to the movie theaters. You know,
I heard that.
They're a little more concerned, especially now with the bounce back of the Omicron variant. People are a little skeptical about going to the theaters, but go during the day. Go at times when it's not going to be busy. You won't have any trouble at all.
Definitely. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And you'll enjoy a unbelievably fantastic movie.
Definitely.
So great. Ellen, happy holidays to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Ellen, hang on for a second. I want to send you, I have a $50 Lou Malnati's gift card I want to give you.
Thank you. Little
holiday present for your movie review this morning. Yeah. It's 11:18. We'll be right back talking with Tom Holland, Zendaya, and Ned Batalon from... not Ned Batalon, Jacob Natalon, who plays Ned in the movie, right after this.
WGN! Spider-Man.
11:21. Dean Richards, Sunday morning. The unabashed number one movie of the weekend. Spider-Man, No Way Home. starring Tom Holland as Spider-Man Peter Parker, Zendaya as MJ, his on-screen girlfriend, off-screen girlfriend, too, and also Ned Batalon, who plays Ned. Talk to all three of them together and ask Zendaya what it was like to return to the Spider-Man franchise. This is now the third movie for all of them.
I honestly feel every time I feel like I'm going back to like a really cool summer camp.
Yeah, it does feel like a summer camp.
It makes you feel like a teenager again. You get to be with old friends. You get to do like cool activities. Like it's just, it's everything fun, and we get paid for it. And it gets to and it's our job.
And make-believe Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
it's great.
The coolest job in the world. So
with your best pals.
I just get extremely excited every time I know that Camp Spider-Man's coming up, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom, how do you feel about it?
I mean, you know, I can echo what you said. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, you know. Sometimes, in some ways, it gets easier. In some ways, it gets harder. With the natural progression of these movies, the stakes get higher, the scale of the movies get bigger, and it's our job as actors to deliver. So, you know, there's definitely added pressure every time we do this, but we've been so lucky that the fans have been so responsive and so supportive of the films that we've made so far, that pressure is alleviated a little bit.
Yeah, Jacob, why do you think there's such enormous popularity for Spider-Man in particular? I mean, obviously all the Marvel characters are very popular, but I think there's a special affection for Spider-Man. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Spider-Man is probably the most relatable superhero and the most popular one, obviously. And I feel like, you know, Marvel fans have sort of spanned generations. And I think that now that we're able to bring them to life, I feel like all these generations of fans are able to celebrate them, especially Spider-Man, because he's probably the most beloved and most, again, most relatable one. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's just something very charming about a young boy becoming a young man with superpowers, because everyone's a young person at some point and learning responsibility. So it's all very much, it's all of those things for sure.
Yeah. Tom, I read an article on the internet, and we all know that everything on the internet's 100% true. that said, when you hand off the reins of Spider-Man to whoever will next play them, that you want to help that person, you want to assist them in taking on the responsibility of being Spider-Man. What is the responsibility? I mean, what do you think would be the most helpful advice that you could offer whoever might be the next Spider-Man?
I mean, the best piece of advice I could give is to just enjoy yourself. You know, this ride for me has been so fun, and it's because I've allowed myself to, you know, reap the benefits and enjoy the process. But the responsibility of being Spider-Man, you know, far surpasses just being a job. You know, there are kids out there who, you know, might be struggling at school, might not have friends or are being bullied, and they come home from school and their go-to person is Spider-Man, you know. And at the moment, I'm the lucky person to be, you know, wearing that responsibility. I do it proudly, and I enjoy it. So for the next young kid that steps up to play this role, I'd love for them to know that I'm an ally and I'm in their corner. And should they need any help or assistance, I'm just a phone call away. I was very lucky to have, you know, friends like these two. Robert Downey Jr. was in my corner, the Russo brothers, John Watts, Amy Pascal, everyone else. So I had a really good support system of people that could help me. And I would like to add to that.
That is Tom Holland. He plays Spider-Man, Peter Parker, in Spider-Man No Way Home. Killing it at the box office this weekend. And I highly recommend it, as I do West Side Story and several other films that are out.